From the banks of the Colorado River in Lake Mead to the homes and businesses in Southern Nevada, welcome to Water Smarts, the podcast pumping from the heart of Las Vegas, where we engage with the experts who keep the water flowing throughout Southern Nevada. I'm Bronson Mack.
And I'm Crystal Zelke. From how we treat it, deliver it, use it, protect it, and conserve it, the Water Smarts podcast is all about water in Southern Nevada. We hope to make you a little smarter about the one thing that keeps us all connected, water.
Hey, Crystal, how are you today?
I'm good, Bronson. Hey, you know what? Yesterday, I went into the office, still only going in a couple days a week right now. I could not believe the traffic. On my way home, it felt like pre-pandemic times. So I think Las Vegas is on the comeback, or it has come back. It's busy out there, and there's a lot going on between construction projects and what, we opened a casino or two during the pandemic. It's busy again.
You are absolutely right. I mean, this pandemic really could not keep Vegas down. Here we are coming back with vengeance, if you will. You are absolutely right. I've noticed that same thing. You know, I'm out there on the roadways too, and there is a lot more traffic than there was a year ago at this time. And, you know, I'm hitting the cone zones too. And all of that, though, Crystal, is not only a sign of Vegas coming back, but it's really a sign of economic activity. And that's good for all of us here in Southern Nevada to have that kind of economic activity, to have construction taking place again. And some of that construction I noticed is within our roadways. So that tells me that's construction activity on existing infrastructure.
Right. And what some people might not realize is the work that we're doing too. And that's just because you don't see a lot of our facilities. And the reason is a lot of it's underground.
Yeah, you are absolutely right. If we could like pull up the asphalt and show Southern Nevada what it takes to move water throughout this community and all of the pipes and the pumps and the valves and the hydrants and all of those things that are necessary in order to deliver reliable water supplies, it would really give a much greater appreciation for what it takes to not only move water, but all of the other utilities throughout Southern Nevada. So I appreciate the fact that you brought that up, because today here on the Water Smarts podcast, we're going to be talking about one of the major infrastructure projects that the Southern Nevada Water Authority is starting to work on in order to ensure reliable water supplies for all Southern Nevadans. And here on the Water Smarts podcast, we have Doa Ross, the Deputy General Manager of Engineering, and Adriana Ventimiglia, Senior Program Engineer for SNWA. Doa and Adriana, welcome to the Water Smarts podcast.
Thanks for having me back, Bronson.
Thank you, Bronson. Happy to be here.
Well, we are happy to have both of you here. And Doa, absolutely welcome back. Before we start talking in more detail about the Horizon Lateral project, I think it's probably important just to explain a little bit to our listeners about why this project is necessary. When it's built, it's going to work in tandem with some of our existing infrastructure that is already in the ground and serving the community, especially in the southern part of the valley. But can you provide just a little bit more background for us as we get started here about the Horizon Lateral project and why the Water Authority is planning to expand that infrastructure that's already there and serving the community?
Sure. And it's an excellent question, Bronson. I appreciate you asking it. So right now, approximately 40% of Southern Nevada is served off of what we have called the South Valley Lateral, and that's an SNWA line, large diameter, and it's a fantastic line, and it has been a very great part of our resource and infrastructure. However, it is still a single feed, and this becomes important when it ever comes a time for us to do repairs or maintenance to our infrastructure. If we've got everyone being fed off of one single line, that can cause a little bit of problems for keeping our customers in service. So the South Valley Lateral was actually constructed in the late 1990s. And while it has served us very faithfully, as with everything in infrastructure, we always have to maintain it. And there are possibilities for areas of upkeep. In 2017, we actually were alerted to some water pooling in the area of Gibson and Horizon Ridge. And through our leak detection efforts and our investigations that we do, we were able to pinpoint the place of the leak, and it is part of the South Valley Lateral. At that time, it was part of the South Valley Lateral. So if you can imagine, we don't just jump into your drinking water with boots and gear on. I mean, we just don't do that. for safety reasons, of course, and reliability. We want to drain that pipe appropriately, make the necessary repairs, fill it back up, disinfect, and so forth. Well, if we have 40% of the valley being served by that one line, you can imagine there are a little bit of coordination that was necessary. And of course, our customers off that line are City of Henderson and Las Vegas Valley Water District, and then all of their roughly 1 million customers from that line. So it took about 10 days total from the time that we noticed the leak, drained the line, were able to get in, make the repair, and get it charged back up. Fortunately, we were able to work with both City of Henderson and Las Vegas Valley Water District to fill their reservoirs, to change their operational strategies, to make sure that their customers were never without water. But you can imagine if this was a much bigger issue or a much bigger repair that was necessary, we may not be that lucky. 10 days is a really quick turnaround for a pipe this large. So we realized redundancy is really part of the game. We do this all over the valley in everything else, but the South Valley Lateral was never designed with redundancy. Part of that is because much of what we know of City of Henderson that's developed today did not exist at that time. So we really didn't think we needed as much. And also it was a huge cost to put in a second pipe. So that kind of led us to decide that, wow, we really need to build some redundancy into the South Valley Lateral system to be able to provide reliable water to both City of Henderson and the Las Vegas Valley Water District. And that was when we kind of turned over to the community and said, this is what we think we need. And they recommended, as part of the ERPAC group, the Horizon Lateral be one of the projects in our major capital and construction plan.
So, Doa, when you say redundancy, by that you mean that there are additional facilities and infrastructure that can be used to make sure that no one goes without water for too long while there's a major repair. I'm assuming that the rest of the Las Vegas Valley has that type of redundancy built into its infrastructure. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. And if you looked at our whole system, we essentially surround the valley with our big, humongous arms of a hug of water. We provide water to North Las Vegas, to City of Henderson, all around the valley, but we have redundancy built throughout our entire system with the exception of the South Valley Lateral. So this is really important. And on the water district side, we do that within our regular distribution system. We always want to have two feeds of water in case one goes down, we can get you water from another direction.
Wow. So that is really ensuring that customers continue to have their water needs met because you have options to be able to move that water throughout the valley, isolate other areas of pipelines or infrastructure that are necessary for repair without affecting service to customers. That is really impressive. And in this experience that you had in 2017, where the South Valley Lateral had to be temporarily shut down for emergency repairs, and I believe you said that that South Valley Lateral currently provides about 40% of water deliveries throughout Southern Nevada. That's correct?
That's correct.
Wow. So that's a big demand that you have on that pipeline. And you had to work with the City of Henderson and the Las Vegas Valley Water District to not only fix those repairs quickly, but also coordinate together to ensure that the water kept flowing and customers kept getting the water that they needed. And if I understand correctly, you also decided that there was more of a long-term solution that was needed. So how did the Horizon Lateral project get to move forward?
Well, actually, this isn't the first time we've really contemplated this particular pipeline. It was actually something that we contemplated several years ago before the recession that happened in 2007-2008 timeframe. We had planned on this and actually were moving forward with some preliminary alignment design concepts. But when the recession kind of happened and we realized, okay, we need to sort of pivot a little bit and change our priorities, not to mention the money being spent. And actually, we did turn our attention towards a very critical piece, which we've discussed before, which was the third intake and the low lake level pump station. And once we completed that, then we were able to turn our attentions back to the South Valley Lateral's redundancy needs, and not only for redundancy for that particular line, but also to be able to allow for development and economic diversity that is necessary in our valley, not just in Henderson, but in the southern part of the system. And that was when really everything was brought back as part of one of those recommended projects that the ERPAC committee said, this is absolutely necessary for sustaining Southern Nevada.
And that ERPAC committee, if I can just ask a follow-up there, that ERPAC committee was a group of stakeholders that represented a cross-section of various sectors in Southern Nevada, business interests, homeowner interests, HOA interests, and all of these various economic sectors we have here. And if I understand that correctly, DOA, they provided recommendations on ways in which Southern Nevada Water Authority could make some infrastructure improvements to help continue to ensure reliable water service to all Southern Nevadans.
Absolutely. They recommended anything from asset management, maintaining our existing facilities, ensuring that they maintain a long, healthy life of serving our customers, as well as those projects that are needed to provide that reliability and redundancy for Southern Nevada.
So, Adriana, you're super close to the details of this project because you're the lead engineer on the project. Can you explain what the New Horizon Lateral Project will include?
Sure. Well, Crystal, the Horizon Lateral Project includes about 30 miles of large diameter pipeline ranging from 42 inches to 120 inches. These are large pipelines, a lot larger than the water lines that are in front of your home, or I should say in the street in front of your home. Along with the large pipelines, we're also going to construct two large pumping stations, one at our River Mountains water treatment facility and another pumping station, and we call it inline because it's going to be along the alignment. Along with the pumping stations, we plan to have a 40 million gallon concrete reservoir for water storage and about 7 to 8 miles of underground tunneling. Along with those systems, we also have rate of flow control stations at our Henderson and Las Vegas Valley Water District connection points, 4 for the city of Henderson and 2 for Las Vegas Valley Water District.
So these are pretty big pipelines that are going in, not just your average standard lines that maybe residents would be used to seeing outside of their homes. Pretty big, right?
Absolutely. They're about 10 feet in diameter.
All right. What phase of development is the project in right now?
Crystal, right now we're in the pre-design phase of the project, and that consists of us looking at two possible alignments. We're looking at the northern alignment and the southern alignment. The northern alignment, just like the southern, starts at the River Mountains Water Treatment Facility, and it goes westward all the way to the Southern Highlands area. So the northern alignment goes through the more developed area of Henderson, while our southern alignment goes south and through the Sloan Canyon National Conservation Area and avoids that dense population area. Right now, we are getting public input. We're working on our pre-design, as I mentioned, and we are also working on getting regulatory and environmental approvals. The pre-design phase will take anywhere from 2 to 2.5 years, but we do hope to be completed by 2023. And we expect to start construction in 2024, hoping to reach project completion in 2030.
Wow, so this is a pretty long lead project, and it sounds like there's a whole lot of work that still needs to be done before these alignments are identified. Hey, DOA, with those two alignments or paths, if you will, through which this new transmission system can go, I understand there's some challenges with the North Corridor alignment going through that densely populated area of the city of Henderson. Can you just talk a little bit more about those two alignments and if there's like a preference between them for SNWA?
Sure. One of the things that we did complete, which was needed prior to starting the preliminary design that Adriana spoke about, was the feasibility study. And part of that feasibility study really is a risk analysis, if you will, looking at possible routes. Can we even do this? We actually analyzed over 90,000 alignment segment options for this pipeline, and they were looked at for multiple different things. The route that would be best for infrastructure, minimizing disruptions to services, customers, roadways, things like that, minimizing environmental impacts, schedule, cost. There's a lot of things involved in that analysis. And at the end of the feasibility study, essentially, we found these two alignments were the best options for all interests involved. And as Adriana mentioned, there's a northern alignment, which does take you through the very densely populated part of City of Henderson. Think of Horizon Ridge Parkway, St. Rose Parkway, and it is a humongous pipeline. Adriana mentioned how big it is. This is a pipe big enough to drive a car through. that the trench that's necessary for that, for the depth of the pipe, as well as safely being able to access it and get it into the ground, is probably about 50 feet wide. So you can imagine these roadways being significantly torn up for several years of construction. This is road that people who live out there, as well as people who travel to and from for business or schools or parks or sports or whatever they're doing, they would be disrupted for quite a long time being able to drive through that area. Additionally, whether you're the northern alignment or southern alignment, both alignments have a portion of the alignment that does involve tunneling. If you go through the northern alignment, the equipment necessary to drill and tunnel this size of pipe is quite large. So we need a lot of open space to be able to do that. And unfortunately, the ideal spaces are public parks in some of these areas. So it would mean temporarily tearing up some of the public parks to be able to do the tunneling throughout that area. Additionally, there's a significant amount of utility coordination risk involved. If you can think of a typical roadway, how many times have you seen contractors out there installing, whether it be a gas line or a pipeline or a sewer line? And we have to find the right alignment to avoid all of those and or relocate them. So there's a lot of work that's necessary when you go through already populated urban areas. So now the southern alignment avoids that densely populated area of City of Henderson. It goes through much of BLM land. It's not been developed in that area. It would include about 8 miles of tunneling beneath the Sloan Canyon Conservation Area. Again, that's beneath, so we would not be tearing up through like a trench of Sloan Canyon Conservation Area. But it would require us tunneling underneath it anywhere from 50 to 1,000 feet deep from the surface of the Sloan Canyon Conservation Area. However, this area would probably allow for a lot faster schedule, as well as less interruption to the people who live out there, no tearing up of parks and major roadways, and it saves the ratepayers about $200 million taking that southern alignment. So you can see kind of why, you know, we sort of lean that way. But again, ultimately, the alignment is going to be determined through this process that we're doing right now in the preliminary design phase.
Do you have thirsty grass? Well, you're in luck. The Southern Nevada Water Authority is giving you cash for your grass. Convert your useless lawn to WaterSmart Landscaping and receive a cash rebate from the Southern Nevada Water Authority. Start saving water and money today by visiting snwa.com. SNWA is a not-for-profit water agency. DOA, so I imagine for our listeners, it probably sounds like a relatively simple choice when, you know, you just referenced the cost associated with it and the potential impacts to areas that we all drive through and commute through and have to interact with. You know, it's some significant impact there to the roadways, but obviously there's a lot more studies, there's environmental impact studies and other analysis that needs to be conducted, as well as getting some public input into these two alignments. So can you just talk a little bit about what it takes to get a project like this, of this magnitude, through the approval process? And what are some of the things that still need to be done before there is a final decision?
Absolutely. That's a great question. As I mentioned, the environmental impact part of this, we are engaged with our stakeholders, every sort of interest group that might be involved in both the north and south alignments. And we go through a process, part of the National Environmental Policy Act, we call it NEPA, and that is part of addressing all of the environmental concerns that might be out there. So while we are putting together all of the people that are a part of this team, engaging those stakeholders, getting all of the feedback from interested parties in both alignments so that we can get everything addressed, ultimately, we need that decision that tells us north or south to know which way to continue our design. There is a lot of the design aspect that can be done and will be done up front, actually. As Adriana mentioned, regardless north or south, they start from the same spot. So there are still some design aspects that can be done on the beginning of it. But ultimately, that decision that happens that determines what is the public's opinion, what's the environmental result of the best alignment, will determine where the design goes from here.
Adriana, DOA touched on this a little bit about the impacts that could be expected from the construction project, whether it takes place in the north or the south. But Can you help our listeners understand how the project will be constructed and how much disruption customers in that area might expect or should expect?
So the impacts of major construction projects can be frustrating, of course. And even if you don't live in the area, you can still expect to drive through some orange cone zones if you're driving to school, you know, driving your kids to school, to work, or on your way to the grocery store. That said, we, the SNWA, will work with the City of Henderson, Clark County, and NDOT traffic engineers to determine the allowable work times based on the location of the street, whether the street is located next to residences or if it's located next to businesses. Now, that'll determine the work times that we're allowed to be there. And we also coordinate with the City of Henderson and Clark County and NDOT to make sure that there aren't any other projects or contracts in the same area. We don't want to double up contracts in a neighborhood. We want to keep the orange cones to a minimum. But commuters can see lane reductions ranging anywhere from 1 to 3 driving lanes to accommodate the large work area needed for the trench, the pipeline segments, material, as well as associated construction equipment. And know that the trenches we're putting the pipeline in are protected by Jersey rail. And at night, when we're not actively working on them, they are covered with trench plates to keep the area safe. Along with some traffic impacts, we also have some scheduled water outages. And this occurs when we're connecting our new infrastructure, our new pipelines to existing infrastructure. And these, again, are scheduled outages. So SNWA coordinates with the City of Henderson and Las Vegas Valley Water District on the times and dates that are best to do the connections so that the ratepayers or their customers don't see any impacts when we're doing these connections. All that, yes, you know, there is some discomfort on driving or seeing construction along your roads. But when the project is completed, the Horizon Lateral will provide the redundancy needed to ensure reliable water delivery to about 1 million people in the Las Vegas Valley. And it also provides infrastructure capacity to meet the community's current and future water needs, and it'll create jobs. So the benefits are multifaceted.
So speaking of jobs, I imagine a project of this size would generate some new work here in Southern Nevada, which is great coming off of a year and a half now of the pandemic and a lot of people losing some of their jobs. So what kind of jobs will come out of a project like this for the Horizon Lateral project?
Well, when it comes to construction and design of something of this size, it is not something that any one team could ever accomplish on their own. The design, as Adriana mentioned, is going to take a couple years at a minimum, and then plus they'll still be involved even during construction. Just so that you understand, if we do a typical water line or even a new, brand new subdivisions being built or brand new hotel casino, you typically hire one engineering firm and they take care of it, soup to nuts. But in this particular project, with the amount that's involved, there is an engineering firm and 9 other companies working with them to do the design. These are companies that specialize in environmental compliance, geotechnical, water design, tunneling, all sorts of things involved. And that's just on the design. Once you get into construction, you can pretty much think about every type of trade work or construction from a contractor's perspective that would be necessary. We're going to have earthwork people, welders, electricians, people doing traffic control, landscape, all sorts of things involved in this, not to mention the tunneling efforts of it all. There's going to be so many different job opportunities along this one project all the way through till 2030. It's going to last a long time.
Well, that is really great to hear that there is some economic benefit that comes along with building a project of this nature. And then you couple that with the fact that the end result of a project like this increases the reliability of water service for everybody, just about every Southern Nevadan, and certainly those that are in the City of Henderson and in that southern part of the Las Vegas Valley. You know, this is a really good community benefit that can be realized by being able to advance this project and get it installed. You mentioned there a little bit about the economics of this, and both you and Adriana talked a little bit about the fact that, you know, when we build these facilities and a project like this, as it gets constructed, yeah, that construction activity has an impact. has an economic benefit in providing jobs, but it has an impact on those who have to drive through the cone zones or have to live near the areas where that construction is taking place. And actually, we have a question from one of our listeners about pipelines and infrastructures. And I'm hoping that Adriana, maybe you can answer this one for us. This question comes from Kirk from Las Vegas. And Kirk asks us, how long is the lifespan of a water main, and what did they used to be made of, and what are they made of now? So can you just talk a little bit, Adriana? What's the lifespan of a water main?
The lifespan of a water main really depends on the environment, the soil characteristics, and the installation, the operation conditions, and pipe material itself. SNWA uses a welded steel pipe, and it's cathodically protected. So that lasts about, I would say, over 100 years. And that's what research shows. Now, if it's not cathodically protected, that's in the 80-year range. But again, we do cathodically protect ours, and it's well over 100 years. For smaller diameter pipe, with some of our purveyors, you know, that's a ductile iron pipe, which is also cathodically protected. Sometimes they use PVC pipes. And back in the day, they would use redwood pipe, believe it or not, but it worked back then.
Adriana, you just mentioned something there that maybe our listeners aren't quite attuned to. You said cathodic protection. Can you just give us a quick snapshot? What is cathodic protection? What does it do?
Well, cathodic protection really prevents corrosion and extends the life of the pipeline.
Wow. So once the pipe gets in the ground and gets installed and actually goes into service, there are protections that are in place to help prevent that pipe from degrading over time and keeps it reliable. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. Again, it extends the life of the pipeline.
And Doa, we're going to shoot the next question over to you. It has to do with Elon Musk's Boring Project, which is a tunneling system underneath the Las Vegas Convention Center, and it's connecting the convention center to parts of the Las Vegas Strip and other areas of downtown Las Vegas. And this question comes from Nancy in the city of Henderson. And Nancy asks, how does an infrastructure project like Elon Musk's Boring Project get coordinated with all of those underground utilities, including water mains? And she says she finds it fascinating that the Boring Project has moved so fast, considering everything that has to be coordinated and all of that existing infrastructure that's underground.
Sure. Actually, this is a fantastic question because it does sort of tie back to this whole horizon lateral discussion, and I'll bring that in a second. So the Boring Project, first of all, the reason why they're able to move so fast is because they tunnel at a depth way below all the utilities. So they first do a lot of investigation. They pothole, which is a very tiny opening in the soil, and they pull out dirt so they can see where the top of a certain utility is without digging to hit it. They pothole to verify the location of all the utilities, and then they know, go deep, go deeper than that, and then they tunnel. And that's why they know they're not going to hit anything by tunneling at such a depth. The only thing that then gets coordinated really with everyone is verifying the location of the utilities through potholing, but also where they have their access points. So the first project was connecting the original part of the convention center to the expansion part, and they made it past all the utilities without any issues. They coordinated the locations of their access shafts to make sure that they, again, don't collide or have any issues with existing utilities. So it's a lot of coordination, a lot of verifying where existing utilities are, and then you design around it. The reason why I say is bring it back to the horizon lateral is because, yes, Nancy, you're absolutely correct. That project was super fast being able to tunnel, and it was very inexpensive. And I bet you didn't even know that they were doing it if you were anywhere in the resort corridor, which is why we really are confident with that southern alignment, because we know we can tunnel underneath the Sloan Canyon Conservation Area without disrupting it.
Wow. That is fascinating, especially when you consider the fact that that is heavy machinery, that is deep underground, that is advancing forward, that is removing all of the material and soils that are under the ground. Yet that can be done directly underneath the convention center, the Las Vegas Strip, and we don't even notice that that activity is taking place because it is so deep underground. Very, very impressive. Well, Doa Ross and Adriana Ventimiglia, thank you so much for joining us here on the Water Smarts podcast. We really appreciate you making us a little bit smarter about infrastructure and what it takes to ensure reliable water deliveries throughout our community.
Thank you so much for having us, Bronson. And thank you, Crystal, as well.
Thank you, Bronson. Thank you, Crystal. It was fun.
The Water Smarts podcast is brought to you by the Southern Nevada Water Authority, which reminds you to follow the mandatory seasonal watering restrictions. You can find your assigned watering days on snwa.com. The watering seasons change 4 times a year. We get it. You're busy. Maybe you forget to change your irrigation clock, but following the seasonal watering restrictions is one of the most important ways you can help conserve water and protect our limited water supply.
SNWA can help you remember to change your sprinkler clock. Text the word CONSERVE to 85357. That's CONSERVE to 85357. And when the season changes, you'll get a text reminder so that you can go out there to the garage and change that sprinkler clock. To avoid water waste fees, make sure you're watering only on your assigned watering day. Not sure what those days are? Go to snwa.com and type your address in and find your schedule. Crystal, I gotta tell you, I kind of geek out on infrastructure. I am very interested in what it takes to make systems work and to deliver water or power or whatever it takes. I kind of enjoy infrastructure myself. I don't know about you.
Well, a lot of times when we're talking about infrastructure, it can go over my head. I mean, when you're not an engineer or someone that works in that background or that field, you know, it can be a lot to take in. But what I appreciate about having DOA and Adriana on here today is they really broke it down and made it understandable about what it takes to do a project of this size to bring water to everybody here in the Valley. So we're actually recording this right around National Infrastructure Week. But for us, that's not just 1 week a year. We're doing this every day.
You are absolutely right. I mean, you consider the fact that there are pipelines throughout this community, pumps and everything that it takes to deliver water, and the investment that is made on the Southern Nevada Water Authority side to ensure that that water infrastructure remains reliable and continues to meet the needs of this community so that every time you turn on the tap, we meet the demand. That is a considerable amount of responsibility. And I think we all appreciate the fact that our water infrastructure here is reliable. And it's because of people like DOA and Adriana that help make that happen. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Water Smarts podcast. We hope you have gotten a little bit smarter about what it takes to deliver water throughout our community. We hope that you subscribe and listen in next time. You can send us questions if you got them. We'll take them. Send us an email at watersmarts@snwa.com or visit the SNWA website and go ahead and reach us on our contact page. We'll make sure to get back to you with an answer, and we might even read your question on the air. Thank you so much to Kirk and Nancy for sending in their great questions, and thank you for listening. And we'll see you here next time on Water Smarts.